The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm talking to Johnny Russo. You were just talking about, we're talking about crazy stuff, except
I know
it's real and you were there.
Well, you know, it's so funny because St. Martin's Press and probably a lot of your listeners are saying, oh, come on, this can't be true.
Yeah.
I found out something about writing a book and being an author.
Yeah.
The publishing houses vet all these stories.
Yeah.
Because they don't want them out there.
Right.
And all of this is in my book, which we forgot to mention.
Yeah, let's
Hollywood Godfather. Hollywood,
that's last time you were on, we were talking about that book, and Hollywood Godfather's out there. Now, you were going to write another book, and I want to ask you, you started writing it, and you stopped writing it? Or
I started writing it, and I thought I was going to do something to pay back Sinatra, because they asked me to write a book about Sinatra. And there's so many. Bill O'Reilly's got a book coming about Sinatra. I can't believe this. But anyway, I said, you know, let me write the right book. So now I'm turning in chapters.
With St. Martin's.
With St. Martin's Press again. Big advance. Frank Wyman's my agent. Got me a great deal. Because this book here now is best-selling seven countries.
Hollywood Godfather.
Hollywood Godfather. They're making a 10-hour miniseries out of it.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They're making me. When I bumped into you on the street, I was running. This was during COVID, and I hear you come walking with your stick, and I stopped you for a minute. And you were telling me that you sold the rights, and they're making I think you said that back then.
Right.
So it's happening.
Oh, it's happening.
The miniseries.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Nick Vallelonga, who won the Oscar for Green Book, Best Picture, Best Screenplay.
All right.
He wrote the pilot. He's writing three episodes and directing three. Chaz Palminteri is writing three and directing three. George Gallo for Midnight Run. So many. I mean, 29th Street, which I liked, one of his great movies. He's writing three and directing three. And my showrunner is Colin Wilson for Mandalorian, who just got nominated for 15 Emmys. And also from Avatar, he's my showrunner. And this is what we're doing now, which I think is pretty...
Is there a part in it for me, Johnny?
Of course.
That's why I have you here.
Okay.
Bring him some more Zambuca. Come on. But your life is... I said it's like Forrest Gump. It really is. When you talk about all these characters, Sinatra and this one and that one. Let's circle back. Not that we could tie up any loose ends, but... You said flat out Robert F. Kennedy had Marilyn Monroe murdered.
Yes.
First of all, that's an unbelievable thing. It's hard for many of us to believe that Robert F. Kennedy would have someone murdered. You know this is true.
Well, that on a Saturday afternoon, Sinatra had to tell Marilyn why she was there. And she'd do anything for the mob. And Sam Giancana, they were all cabins, individual cabins surrounding this hotel.
At this hotel, right.
They set up her room. She was going to entice Robert because John didn't show. So Joe did show in a wheelchair and John and Robert. And she was supposed to entice him. They were going to take film like they did with J. Edgar Hoover many years ago in Chicago and have him cross-dressing. And he blackmailed him. He always said, there's no mob. There's no mafia until Robert became attorney general. And then that whole thing came about. Unbeknownst to us, and I'm sitting poolside, I was just eyes and ears for Costello. Sinatra tells her she went crazy.
In other words, when Sinatra tells her she needs to do this. Now, right. I just got to tell you, when you're talking about a top Hollywood star, one of the most glamorous, talented women in the world, she's being told by the mob, you got to do this dirty thing for us. It's just a fascinating thing.
It wasn't by the mob for her. You know, she worked for them all the time. She knew them well. And she loved Sinatra. I mean, Sinatra had his way with her for years. She was like a go. If she had, she was depressed, she'd call him. So he said, you have to do this favor for us. But she as we pointed out earlier, she slept around to begin with. I mean, this was a favor.
But it's just an amazing thing that they're trying to set up. They want to set up John F. Kennedy. So this is 62. So he's been president.
Oh, yeah.
They want to set him up for what? So they can control him?
To get them to convince him to go do what they said they had to go do. The Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Pigs. And so he screwed it up, and they're angry at him.
Because they got nothing now. He's president already a year. And they made him president.
They're saying, we made you president, and now you got to do what you said.
And they're getting indicted.
Mickey and his brother is going after the mob.
After all of them. So now we found out that day, no one knew this. That day, she said, I'll never have anything to do with the Kennedys. I just got an abortion for Robert, because Robert already had five kids. He got her away from John because it was bad publicity. Everybody knew that was supposedly his mistress. And Jackie was going crazy. So Jackie, Joe, and Robert came up with this idea. So he lured her away only for him to be enticed by her and impregnated her. So she said, I'm going to the press with this. I'm done with the Kennedys. Screw them. And we knew then. When I flew back the next day and I told Costello what went on, he says she's dead. And that Saturday, she was dead, man.
Now, do you know how they killed her?
I know exactly how they killed her, and I know who killed her.
It was an injection?
Injection in the pubic area of oxygen. No pills. There's that collateral damage. After all these years, they just confirmed what I said. Is that nuts?
Who confirmed it?
Doctors, even Noguchi, who did the autopsy on her. No barbiturates.
So nobody knew. So did anybody know how she died?
She died of an embolism.
No, we know that now. You're really? Telling me that, but I'm saying, did they know if...
They wanted to look like a scandal. I mean, her doctor, Engelbert, her doctor, they had prescriptions from him. And when they checked him, it was all bullshit. He was just... She didn't... When they did the autopsy and they said she had abundance of drugs in her.
That's not true.
She always had drugs in her. But it's not going to kill her.
So she died. She was murdered by a doctor that the Kennedys put up to this.
Yeah. It was a doctor for hire. The mob used her. He was studying to be an anesthesiologist. He just died also. But this guy was a guy for hire. But you would never, I mean... He's the cleanest guy. So
she's passed out, and he injects her, and she dies.
Right.
Do people know this?
We're going to read about it now, more so now. This book is 600-some pages.
But, I mean, the idea that the Attorney General of the United States of America had Marilyn Monroe murdered. You know, you always hear these rumors, but...
There was a hit list. A hit list. I was on the hit list. I'm the only one that didn't get killed.
Now, why were you on the hit list?
Because I knew too much, and I was there. They wanted to eradicate everybody.
And you say the Kennedys, not the mob.
No, not the mob.
Who else was on the hit list whose name we would know?
Jack Ruby. The open case right now, Dorothy Kilgallen, the columnist, it's still an open murder case. In New York. And the thread between all these people, which is strange because I'm reading this book now. I didn't write this book.
This is the book we're talking about, Collateral Damage.
Right.
So you're finally reading this book and you're reading all the stuff that you've been saying all these years, that this guy did the work. And
he's
true.
Quoting me even.
Okay.
He's quoting my book.
Okay.
And this is a tremendous writer. I mean, I don't know Mark. I mean, I met him now. We're friends. Yeah. He asked me questions. And he couldn't believe what I knew, even about Dorothy Kilgallen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... It's I just amazing. Like the idea because for the common people to say, oh, come on, this is all BS. Well,
it's not.
It's not.
I still, just the idea that RFK had her murdered, that this is a headline. Like, that's just an insane. Anyway, we're going to be right back talking to Johnny Russo. Protected by a silver spoon.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter.
Johnny Russo, I'm still in awe of some of this stuff. It blows my mind to hear that you have a president of the United States who's, you know, we've all heard these rumors, but I think people dismiss it as rumors or they say whatever, but you were there. And you're telling me that it is a fact that the mob said, we will make Kennedy, John Kennedy president, but we want this.
Right.
And well, this mainly was to get back Cuba.
Well, that was big money. I only went once, but you're talking about the money that was coming to Cuba from all over the world. And that's the syndicate owned them all. Maya Lansky, Costello, they had millions and millions of dollars invested down there. And then they just got thrown out. Batista, they had in his pocket. And they put a hit squad on Castro. I don't know if you know that. John came up with a hit, you know, if they could do it. John did. Don't tell Robert. The one of the guys that killed John Kennedy, are you ready for this? Was trained by the CIA as a marksman to kill Castro first. Then they switched contract. And he was in the storm sewer as the car came up. He was the kill shot. Johnny Roselli.
Why has this been so difficult to pin down? I mean, you're telling me this stuff. You don't seem crazy, but there's millions of books on what happened, and nobody seems to be able to get it straight. There are all these theories. Why is that?
Well, because first of all, the federal government, a lot of people are afraid of it. Again, after 50 years, Trump could have released it. You notice they didn't release it again?
Yeah.
You know why?
No.
Because we destroyed the FBI, the CIA. You'll see how corrupt they are.
He should have released it.
I know.
He really should have released it.
Well, I think he would have if he thought he was going to lose the election.
Now, you were saying back in, I think it was December, that you thought he would stay in office.
I did.
You did. And What have you heard? Because I've heard so much.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean, we, you know, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm none of those things. I vote in Sicily every 5 years. But the thing is that, I mean, I don't know what happened to him in the last 2 or 3 months of his, he became like I don't know, like he freaked out, was on acid or something. I mean, that whole thing on the 6th was like.
I still don't know. Does anybody know what happened? Did anything happen? A bunch of people wandered in. Nobody was killed except the pro-Trump woman.
Oh, no, the cop was killed.
No. That's what was
it. He
this
had a heart attack. Well, later on, yeah. They made it look that
they
way.
They made it look that way. But then you really think, well, like, if there was some kind of an insurrection.
Hello.
But if there was any kind of an insurrection, people would have been killed. You know, nothing happened. It was a bunch of people wandering around. And I think a lot of that was also
orchestrated by the Democrats.
I'm sorry to agree with you totally. I'm sorry to say that I think that is right. Everything that I have, you must, having seen all the dark stuff you've seen, it must make you cynical about life because there's a lot of dirt.
No, it doesn't. That's why I'm not in a political party because it's all BS. Who's got the money? Who's doing what? It's always been that way. They talk about the mob. They're worse than the mob.
Well, I've always felt that there are some politicians that are really trying to do the right thing, but they bump up against a brick wall. Oh, and I feel like that happened to Trump in many ways.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that old boy society, I mean, if you look at all the senators, most of them are lawyers. That's why we have so many frivolous lawsuits in this country. They'll never pass a law for frivolous lawsuits. I've been a victim of so many lawsuits, it's ridiculous. In another country, you want to sue me? Right now, I have a lawsuit for like $3 million. If you want to sue me for $3 million, in England, let's say, you got to put up a bond for $3 million plus the court fees. Now you're going to start thinking about whether you want to. That's why you don't see lawsuits all over. Only in the United States. Anybody will sue you. You have law firms that read a headline. They come and call you up. They'll take the case on a contingency. It's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. We got to go back. You had a book coming out. Well, first of all, before the book, the miniseries. So that is being what? Written right now?
It's written. We're casting.
You're casting.
Right now.
I could play bartender. You're casting. Is it going to be in New York? No.
Yeah, it has to be.
It's got to be.
Lovely. Somebody put up $50 million. To do it. $5 million of episode.
Who did that? Netflix?
I don't want to say it anymore. No, well, it was a gentleman I knew. Well, let's talk about who cares. Jules Nasso, who did all the Seagal movies and all those.
Yeah.
He has a deal with Berlusconi and in Italy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know to get to service that money, we had to shoot there. He left that part out. Well, how are you going to shoot my life?
Yeah.
In Italy.
Right.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
So that fell apart. But Colin Wilson and Nick Vallelongo, who got more credit than anybody, we have studios just would like to release it. So that's what we're doing now. Now we're casting, going the conventional way. The book is still selling.
And that's Hollywood Godfather. So why didn't you write? Because I knew you were writing another book. You got several books in you. You got so many stories to tell.
Right.
Why didn't this next book happen?
Because they wanted a book about Sinatra and my relationship with Sinatra.
Right.
So we started writing it. We wrote about Dolly and his father and Hoboken and his humble beginnings. Then we started getting into the mob stuff. And I knew inside story that most people didn't know. And I also know, and he loves AJ, Nancy's daughter. I see these
who,
kids.
Who loves AJ?
Frank. That's his granddaughter.
He loved AJ, his granddaughter.
And how can I, what they wanted on, the guy was bipolar, an insane recluse when he got drunk, and violent. I knew too much stuff about him. I spent days and weeks with him, traveling with him. I met him in London when he found out Ava Gardner moved from Spain to London. And we were on the way to Monaco because we always went to the Red Cross Bowl each year together because we both knew Grace. And so we stopped there for 3 days, and he was gone for 3 days with her. Come back, he was a basket case, crying like a little kid. He was so enamored with her. But, I mean, how do I tell these stories? The guy has such a great reputation. He's done everything for me. He gave me my first gig as a headliner. He made me travel with, actually put me with Don Rickles for a year as an opening act, which is a great way to learn this business.
Don Rickles. Yeah. I want to talk to you for 4 hours about Don Rickles.
Oh, I love Don.
I adore Don Rickles. Yeah. Unbelievable. So yeah. You spent a lot of time with Don Rickles.
I spent a lot of time with Don and Sinatra, all of them. But I can't throw him under the bus. Why do I want to tell the stories about when he tried to commit suicide and lost his voice for a year? And that's why Ave. I mean, there's so much stuff about
now,
it.
Now, it's kind of funny, though. Why wouldn't you? Because he's long gone. His son is gone. I mean, it's interesting. Why? I am curious why you wouldn't tell that. Because it's not like his wife is alive or something like
that. Yeah, but see, that's who I am. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend. Money, what do you have money? What am I going to do with money?
You're not doing it for the money because, you know, you've got property in Las Vegas if you need money.
Well, that don't mean nothing. No, I mean,
but I'm just saying you don't need
money. I
learned
to live without money. I live very well without money. I don't need money. If the IRS is listening.
Yeah, there's bugs all over
this
place.
Especially in this building.
No. Mark Twain was in this room.
Are you kidding?
No. There's a celebrity Johnny Russo never met.
Nope.
No kidding. Yeah, this was, he lived up in Connecticut the last 20 years of his life. What am I saying? He lived in Connecticut the last 40 years of his life, in Hartford, then in Reading. And this was a famous old Manhattan men's club, fancy club. Yeah. That's a Tiffany ceiling. Look at that.
I know, man.
Right? So that, you know, so
I know,
yeah, Mark
the
Twain.
Last time I was here.
Mark Twain.
When you come to my apartment, I have Tiffany.
Really?
Oh, my collector.
I get to come to your apartment? Your apartment is a famous apartment. Even if it wasn't your apartment, it's a famous apartment.
Oh, yeah, hello.
Huh?
Yeah.
So when it was Frank Costello's apartment, is that right?
One of them.
One of, wow.
So many.
Right. We know he didn't have one apartment. We're just about out of time. Johnny, it's so much fun to talk to you. I hope you'll come back because we haven't covered anything.
No, please.
We haven't talked. We haven't figured anything. If people want to find these clothes, they go to La Cosa Mia by Johnny.
Online.
And that's going to be up soon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. By time the show.
And your book is Hollywood Godfather, right. Now available in 5-6
everywhere.
Languages. Everywhere. Yeah? In Italy?
Just go to Amazon's the best way to get it.
Yeah. I hate Amazon, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, well done.
That's where my books are, too.
Okay.
All right. Well, Johnny Russo, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Always.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110.
Once there's a way to get back homeward.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Zmirak. John, it's been a while since I called you Big Bad John or John the Situation Zmirak, but it's always great to see you. I travel around the country and talk to people, and
many, many people mention enjoying you on this program. So thank you
for being available.
And there people are reading the stream. What is on your mind at this on this day in history, Thursday, the 13th of May?
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Eric. It's great fun. And it's been great fun getting to know you better over the course of years on this show. You know, we didn't know each other that well before I started appearing. This is actually where we have made our acquaintances.
Isn't it funny? Over all these years, I know. It's kind of terrific. Yeah. Well, so what is on your mind? Things are strange in America and the world. Yes. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, the things are strange in my own Catholic Church, too. For years, I've been pointing to the growth of an unsettling extremist movement among some conservative Catholics, and it's just gotten significantly worse. The movement calls itself integralism, not integerism. That would be a math movement.
Right.
Integralism, and basically, it is a movement of disgruntled Catholics who are scared of the direction the world and the country are taking. So they're saying that the church made a terrible mistake at Vatican II when it accepted the idea of religious freedom, and that American Catholics made a terrible mistake when they accepted the American founding with its notion that we should build the laws for the country based on natural law, knowable by reason, and religious pluralism. These unsettled Catholics responding to our terrible Pope and our almost as bad president and the collapse of culture in so many countries, they're saying, well, you can trace it all back to the Enlightenment. And the American founding was part of the Enlightenment. We need to have a country based not just on reason, but on divine revelation as interpreted by the Pope and the bishops. Now, you would think this is a strange time to say that, since the Pope is condemning the death penalty, calling for open borders, calling for socialism, hosting pro-abortionists at the Vatican. It seems like a weird time to double down on the authority of the Catholic Church, especially after the sex scandals, when, you know, I wouldn't trust, if I had a son, the last person on earth I would want him near is a Catholic bishop, literally the last person on earth that I would trust our Catholic bishops, given the horrendous sex scandal of priests abusing boys and bishops covering it up. But these people, these integralists, are doubling down. It's kind of like in the 1920s when the Turkish government got rid of the caliphate, which is sort of like the Muslim Pope. That depressed a lot of Muslims worldwide, but some of them, it sent them into kind of a frenzy. It made them fanatical, and they founded the Muslim Brotherhood. And that was going to go back to the hardcore roots of Islam in order to restore the loss of the caliphate.
Let me see if I can sum up, because I want to make sure that I'm tracking with you.
Yeah.
During the 1960 presidential election, a lot of people said, we cannot elect John F. Kennedy. He's a Catholic. His allegiance will not be to America, but to the Pope. In other words, they were positing a kind of Catholic theocratic vision that is in opposition to the religious liberty that we have at the heart of all American liberties and at the heart of America.
Right.
That was preposterous because Kennedy didn't believe in that kind of thinking. And most people who understand America understand that we are a nation of religious liberty. We don't want a theocracy, even though I am a Christian. I would never want to force people to become any kind of Christian, because I realize you can't do it. It's preposterous,
right.
And it backfires.
Right.
But we know
these
that
Catholics.
But we know that Muslims, most Muslims in America, don't believe in a Sharia law or a theocracy or anything. But the hardcore Muslims, the Islamists, believe they want to subvert the American liberty totally. They want to take over. They want a caliphate. Even Luther, when he was able to break away from the Catholic Church, he really wanted to enforce this kind of Lutheran Protestantism. All these ideas we know are not consonant with the scripture and the ideas of American freedom. But you're telling me now in 2021, there are Catholics advocating for that kind of thinking. I find that astonishing. Can you name a few names? Who are we talking about?
Well, the most prominent name is Scott Hahn. He is a very, he is perhaps the most prominent Catholic lay apologetics guy in America. He teaches at University of Franciscan University of Steubenville, Ohio. He was all over EWTN on TV for years. He has a huge popular following, and he has a new book out in which he endorses integralism. And integralism is Catholic Sharia. It is literally Catholic Sharia. And the reason I say that is, it doesn't make the basis of law natural law, which you and I can talk about rationally. It makes the basis of law divine revelation and the authority of the Pope. And the thing these people, especially the really explicit integralists, are saying is every Catholic bishop should have the legal right to arrest anyone in his diocese who's a baptized Christian who's not living up to Catholic orthodoxy. They claim that by... Wait, let me finish.
Preposterous. Well, we're out of time in this segment, so hang on, John.
Yeah,
folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. I hope you're aware of him. I hope you go to stream.org, print out his articles, and leave them around for people to read. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. How can I ever change things that I feel? Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. John Zmirak, go.
So I was saying integralists believe that you can have religious freedom for Jews and Muslims because they're not part of the body of Christ. But any child who has been baptized, these people believe, should be under the authority of the local Catholic bishop. And if need be, could be seized from his parents by the local Catholic bishop and educated as a Catholic if they won't raise him as a Catholic.
John, I find this so preposterous. I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Well,
most Catholics in America are cafeteria Catholics. They don't even believe. We have trouble. I mean, the one thing I love about the Catholic Church is you have clear laws and you have a hierarchy. And if you have that, you can have good people like the Archbishop in San Francisco denouncing Joe Biden for being pro-abortion and saying we cannot give you communion. That, to me, is one of the wonderful things about the Catholic
Church.
But
the sad part is, Eric, you know Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas? He's one of the brave, he's one of the brave pro-life bishops in America, one of the few really solid ones. He endorsed this book by Scott Hahn that promotes this integralist ideology. Now, maybe he didn't read it. Maybe Bishop Strickland just blurbed a book he hadn't read. I think you and I have all, most writers have been asked to do that. But I would, okay, Scott Hahn is in the Catholic world what Oz Guinness is in the Protestant world, if I can convey that.
In other words, so imagine people read him and therefore he's ignored. And I'm trying to change that with Oz Guinness. But
maybe then you.
Who's the Post?
Sora Bomari, the New York Post op-ed editor, has endorsed this theory of integralism. He is on board with this. Ask him.
I've never met him. I've never had him on the program, but he's somebody that I've agreed with many things that he has put out there. So
I would agree with Torquemada on a lot of things. Torquemada was against abortion. Torquemada was against same-sex marriage. Torquemada was also in favor of burning heretics. They've got one little difference. We just agree to disagree about that. I would encourage people to read. I've done a whole series of articles about this at stream.org. The latest one is called I've Been Exposed as a Satanic Liberal. Now, what I'm talking about there is the most prominent integralist publication calls itself the Josiahs. I've been denounced as a liberal because I believe in religious liberty. And the author denounced the American founding as satanic because it was not based on divine revelation, you know, like countries like Saudi Arabia and Iran, which are based on divine revelation.
But this is so fringe. I'm just telling you, like, it cracks me up that there's a world where this is a thing. I mean, it just amazes me.
Well, let me tell you the unfortunate effect of this, okay?
Yeah.
people who should be pro-life activists, pro-family activists, pro-marriage activists, are checking out. They are taking over Catholic institutions and steering them away from trying to preserve what good we have in America and protect unborn children and protect the religious freedom of Uyghur Muslims in China, Christians in China, Christians in Nigeria. All there are so many important, valuable causes that conservative Catholics ought to be engaged in. And instead, these people are going to Renaissance fairs and dressing up as inquisitors and being Inquisition reenactors.
You're they kidding.
Are, no, that's a metaphor. That's a metaphor. Okay. Yeah. The integralist movement, however, is just that kind of live action role playing. And because it's becoming more and more prominent, you're seeing these people become embittered and anti-American and kind of nihilistic, and in many ways reminding me of Islamists. The only difference is they're not going to blow things up because they're not going to risk their necks because they're a bunch of lily-livered chickens. They just want to fantasize about having power. But I want to warn my Protestant brethren out there. This is a rising movement among Catholics, especially young college-age Catholics. And these people really do want a government that would take away your kids from you and raise them as Catholics. If this were Catholicism, Eric, I would be tempted to persecute it myself. These people are trying to vindicate the know-nothings who tried to keep my ancestors out of the country. The thing is, no Catholics in American history have believed this. For 200 and something years, we have embraced religious liberty. So these integralists are saying we betrayed our faith by identifying with America and loving America. It's just part of the general collapse of everything, Eric, that you've got people who should be zealous, fervent culture warriors on behalf of unborn children and the natural family and the natural law. And instead, they're just reading nostalgically the chronicles of the Spanish Inquisition.
Okay, so on a positive note, I was thrilled, I have to tell you, thrilled to read about the Archbishop, I can't think of his name, in San Francisco.
Is it Cordeleone?
Cordeleone, who spoke up, I mean, I've been waiting for this for years, saying that Nancy Pelosi, Vice President Biden, that they cannot claim to be Catholics, they cannot take communion because they have been ardently pro-abortion. This strikes me as utterly fundamental.
And utterly obvious. Fundamental.
But most Catholic leaders are saying nothing, cowardly in their behavior, in their unwillingness to say anything about what ought to be to every faithful Catholic a deep scandal that folks like Pelosi and Biden, even the cardinal here in New York, didn't seem to say much against Cuomo. Now, Cuomo is obviously no Catholic, the governor of New York, but maybe because he's Italian, he's sort of treated as though he's Catholic.
No, Eric, it's worse than that. The U.S. Catholic bishops were going to vote on Cordeleone's proposal that they would publicly excommunicate or ban from the sacraments Biden and Pelosi, and the Vatican got in touch with them behind the scenes and put the kibosh on it. Because Pope Francis supports Joe Biden and George Soros and Bill Gates and Jeffrey Sachs. Pope Francis is a globalist oligarch who I don't think believes in God. I think Pope Francis is actually an atheist. He acts like one.
We've only got seconds left. Yeah. But does the cardinal, in San Francisco, Is he going to be able to do this? Well, actually, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this because this, to me, is a really noble moral stand, and I'm grateful for any leaders who are willing to take such a stand. We'll be right back. Forget Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. There's lots of stuff there you're already buying. If you're already buying it, you might as well get it from Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric, get a discount, and support a tremendous organization. John Zmirak, you must be heartened that the
cardinal in San Francisco, has taken this public stand against pro-abortion figures like Nancy Pelosi in his diocese.
Yes, yes. I wish more bishops would do that. It's a separating scandal that any bishop would allow pro-abortion, pro-infanticide, pro-transgender, pro-euthanasia activists to go anywhere near the Blessed Sacrament. But you know from the Greek Church, did you ever see Paul Tsongas or Michael Dukakis, who supported abortion, turned away from Holy Communion in their Greek churches?
Well, I expect the Orthodox hierarchy in the Greek Church to be craven. I don't expect that from the Catholic.
Well,
bishop.
you should expect that now.
Yeah,
that is the new norm, because Catholicism in America has been turned into like the chaplaincy of the Democratic Party.
The Greek Orthodox leadership gave a huge award to Joe Biden. They don't seem to even blink at the idea of a pro-abortion political figure. They don't. They're deeply compromised. If you have a priest that isn't, God bless you, folks. Father Peter Karloutsos in Danbury, Connecticut, where I grew up, he understands these issues. There are wonderful priests in the Orthodox Church, but the hierarchy has just been utterly pathetic. But I know you've been dealing with this in the Catholic Church for a long time, so we've got to salute those like Cardinal Cordiglione,
right,
who has taken a stand.
That's right. That's right. And there are fewer and fewer of them among the Catholic bishops, because guess what? Guess who picks the bishop? Pope Francis. And so he is picking people in his mirror image, people like Tobin in Newark, people like Supich in Chicago. So soon, as the good people retire and are replaced by kind of dim-witted lavender apparatchiks, it's going to become rarer and rarer, and life is going to become harder and harder for good Catholic priests, faithful Catholic priests. I just want to ask all your viewers to pray for Father George Rutler, who's a friend of mine, who was basically framed and is in a very difficult situation now because the people in the church who don't like his orthodoxy are treating him very badly. And he doesn't want to speak up publicly about it. But I would ask people out there to pray for our friend George Rutler.
George Rutler is someone that I have been privileged to know over the years. He is a saintly figure, a great intellect. He's come to many Socrates in the City events. One of my favorite Dick Cavett anecdotes involves Father Rutler. He's just a great man. And I know that he's been going through some tough stuff lately. So, yes, please pray for Father Rutler. It's extraordinary. We're living in extraordinary times, John, but God is bigger than the boogeyman, to quote my woke friend, Phil Vischer. Seriously, yeah. God is able to deal with these things. And so we need to know that prayer is important, folks.
Let's pray
for Father Rutler.
Also pray for Rob Hoagland. He's the dad up in Canada who was imprisoned by a judge because he wouldn't use false pronouns to a supposedly transgender daughter. He was kept in solitary confinement in a maximum security prison in Canada. And he just recently got out, but he's still fighting the efforts to throw him back into maximum security prison for refusing to use false pronouns for his daughter, who the school psychiatrist decided was transgender.
I just want to tell you, folks, the scripture commands us to be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make our requests known to God. These are terrible things. Take them to God in prayer with confidence that he hears our prayers. John, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.